Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
As usual, they're throwing shade on me. On the text line.
You should be used to it by now.
I am. But I can take it. I can. Texter writes, love you and your show, but if 1 hour time change completely disrupts your life, you have other issues. Oh, yeah, buddy. Try doing it on second shift work. How you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk big now. I bet you got one of those 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah, one of those cushy.
One of those cushy. Or even an 8-to-6 job.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like in the light.
Exactly.
Okay. Meanwhile, what would it cost to do the Green New Deal? People are doing studies of this. And the goal is to get to 100% renewable energy sources. Well, it just so happens a group called the Center for the American Experiment was analyzing what it would cost. This was before the Green New Deal was announced, but they just came out with their analysis. What would it cost if the energy standard in Minnesota just went to 50%, mandating 50% renewables, right? So you can't use like coal, can't use anything like that. It's got to be like windmills and all that silly stuff, solar. Okay. What would that cost? This is just one state, Minnesota, okay? 50%, not 100%, like Occasional Cortex wants to do. Okay. The final bill through 2030 would be a mere $80 billion.
Well, is that all?
For one state. So that's all, yeah, $80 billion. Those are the hard wiring cost of the thing. Every household in Minnesota would pay an average of $1,200 more per year than they're paying now in energy cost. Electricity prices would rise by a mere 40%. Always good for business. And electricity-intensive industries like mining, agriculture, manufacturing, healthcare would be hurt the most. Not good. And achieving the 50% renewable goal, that's only half of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal goal, would cost Minnesota a mere 21,000 permanent jobs. And reduce the state's GDP by $3.1 billion annually. GDP is the state economy.
Right.
Shave $3.1 billion off the state economy. But, I mean, other than that, it's a great deal.
Oh, boy.
So we, totally do this. Did I sound like the crazy ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, pretty much.
I totally did?
Getting close.
Are you, like, sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, but, you know, a small price to pay, of course, to save the planet, right? Like, how much saving of the planet would we do? Because keep in mind, you know, the electricity cost there going to completely renewables, that's just one, you know, part of eliminating the alleged carbon, right? If Minnesota did this, essentially bankrupting itself, it would reduce the Earth's average temperature by, are you ready for this? 0.0006 degrees centigrade by the year 2100.
I mean, in other words, something that is not even possible to accurately measure.
Of course not.
Statistically insignificant.
Far too small to detect with even the most sophisticated equipment.
Good grief.
Yeah. Well, but by then, nobody would care. It'd be 2100, and everyone who was bankrupt would be dead, right?
I'm just going to repeat what Congressman Jeff Duncan said the other day in an op-ed. Nuclear energy is the answer. You know, if you want to have an economy that uses...
Well, not the way we do it in this state.
Well, that's a whole other issue. That's another issue. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was the state running it. If somebody like Duke Energy or Dominion Energy or somebody else is running it who actually knows how to run an electric company, that would be one thing instead of our esteemed representatives down in Columbia. But seriously, if we want to have an electric infrastructure in this country where we have some renewables, but also a constant supply of current when we need it, which is like when the wind's not blowing, the sun's not shining, or, you know, there's snow on the ground and all over the solar panels, then you've got to have something as a backup. And nuclear energy has been a safe, dependable, provider of that. And it's just and hydroelectric, too. I mean, good grief. We've got the Hartwell Dam out there between Georgia and South Carolina. You know, we've got some answers. But for these people who want to say 100% renewable, it's absolutely scientifically impossible in the foreseeable future for that to be done without there being a tremendous decrease in the standard of living and in the overall growth of the economy.
Plus, you know, and I see what you're saying. You know, if you want to go clean, go nuclear. I get that. But at the same time, I mean, when you look at the growth in our economy, 28% of the growth in our economy you know, quarter after quarter after quarter is mining, and that includes natural gas and oil and coal. So, I mean, yeah, if we went nuclear, it would be like cutting one foot of our economy off. That there is a price, you know what I mean? It's clean, but there's a price there that we would stop, you know, pulling that stuff out of the ground. It's still cheaper than nuclear by a long shot.
Oh, especially the natural gas would be, you know, that's one way to go because it's clean burning. It has a very lower impact. And, of course, they've gotten very good at also scrubbing out the pollution from coal-fired things. It's a whole different ballgame than it used to be just even 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. And again, natural gas, because of fracking, so cheap. That's why nobody's building nuclear factories anymore, nuclear installations, whatever, for that. Because of that, just doesn't make economic sense. But it's clean. It certainly is clean. You're right. Meanwhile, wow. I mean, you want to talk about the perfect libel lawsuit. That Covington Catholic High kid, Nicholas Sandman, he may have been mortified, nationally humiliated, may never be able to get a job, but he may not have to after his lawyer is finished. With all of these media outlets, $250 million libel lawsuit against the Washington Post. That is the whole value of the Washington Post.
He can afford to bribe his own way into a college,
can he? Several, if he would like. Whatever, you know, he could be dean if he wants to.
Exactly.
Yeah, he could do that. So, now they've sued CNN for $275 million. Watch this, because this is something we almost never see, and it's a perfect libel lawsuit. And that's what he has. Number one. He's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's a minor. They picked on him.
Yep.
The way libel law works in this country, we have one of the most unique sets of laws on it in the whole world, and that is this. You can make anything up you want and put it into writing about Donald Trump, Barack Obama, anybody who has sought fame. Because it's believed, and I've always agreed with this as a reporter, it is believed that if you seek fame, then you should be criticized to the absolute furthest extent of the law. And the only way that you can sue and win is if you can prove a conspiracy to lie about you. You got to get that in writing. Yeah. You got to get their reporter's notes. I hate this guy. I'm going to lie. You can win a libel lawsuit that way. But otherwise, no. But if you're a regular person who has not sought fame, and they humiliate you nationally, you're just a regular guy. That is the heart of the perfect libel lawsuit. And when you do it to someone so defenseless as a kid who was just standing there under attack by bigots and homophobes who were screaming slurs, and you tell people that they are that this kid is the racist, he's just waiting to get on a bus. He's not seeking fame. This is the ultimate libel lawsuit. Like, the only thing you could do with that was worse as a reporter. Was find out your neighbor Joe Smith is having an affair, you believe, and go write a report on it, and then find out he's not having an affair.
Right. Yeah.
Joe Smith never sought fame. You are just screwed. Listen to what CNN. They're not going to win this. If I were Sandman, I wouldn't even take a settlement for them. I'd go to own the CNN newsroom. That's what I would do.
Would you really want that?
Yeah. I go. What's it worth? $10.
Exactly.
Never mind. Maybe take a settlement. Listen to what CNN reported about him. That Sandman himself, the kid, so high school kid, created a dangerous situation by blocking Nathan Phillips, remember the Native American?
Yeah.
By blocking Phillips' escape, and that when Phillips tried to escape the mob, causing him to fear for his safety and the safety of those around him, Nicholas and his classmates harassed and taunted him. None of that happened
of
on the
happened.
Video.
None of it.
You could have seen that if you'd watched the video.
Yeah.
They also reported that the students were racist, had a mob mentality, and looked like they were going to lynch the black Hebrew Israelites. All of it a lie.
Yep.
Man, you talk about a lottery, holding a winning lottery ticket. Nicholas Sandman has it, and CNN's going to have to pay.
And now, the Tara Show, genius text of the day on 106.3 WORD.
All right, we still have time left, so this may not be the genius text of the show. But it's a good runner-up, if nothing else. We'll see you by the end of the show. Texter writes in the Genius Text of the Day, if white privilege is a thing, why do liberal white people have to cheat to get into anything? Good point. Well, they did. Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, 30 people arrested in this college admission scandal. They're saying now it's up to 50. We'll see who gets snared in this, including CEOs. It's just fascinating how they did it. Got their kids into schools like Yale, Stanford, UCLA, and USC. By the way, people spent between $5,000 and $6.5 million. Can you imagine? I mean, Junior is obviously not ready for college, right? Certainly not the standards at places like Stanford or Yale, right? And you send them to college, $6.5 million later, they don't finish. Can you imagine? Maybe you can just fake the degree. I don't know. They called it, the FBI called it Operation Varsity Blues. And they arrested Felicity Huffman. Yeah, Felicity Huffman. Arrested by FBI agents with their guns drawn. So she got the Roger Stone treatment. This is yesterday morning. Her bond was set at $250,000 and she was ordered to surrender her passport. Wouldn't it be awesome if they did this to folks like the Parkland shooter, who they could have stopped but just closed the case because they were too lazy to make a phone call down to Miami to stop him? You know, after the second person called FBI headquarters and was like, I just got to get this off my chest. This kid's going to shoot up a school. I just don't want to feel bad about it when he does. And they're like, okay, thank you for your time. Let's close the case. But this, man, this is serious stuff. Anyway, here's how they did it. There's a guy by the name of William Singer. He's a crook. And he set up a fake charity that rich people could pay into. And he'd fraudulently get their kids into some of the top schools in the country. So there's tax fraud here, too. They were writing this stuff off on their taxes. It was the point of the charity. And, you know, he paid straight-up bribes to some at some of these schools, including coaches, to fake, like, you know, athletic credentials for kids. But then he went even further, including staging photo shoots of a student playing a sport, taking pictures of another athlete and photoshopping their face on them. And then, on top of all of that, and this is the part that's brilliant. He had, I guess, professionals who would designate your kid as having like a learning disability or something like that, so you could get, you know, extra time on the test. And then he would arrange for the kid to take the test at one of two schools where he worked and arrange for the proctor for the test to be somebody working for him. And then the proctor would then, you know, help you take the test. You got, you know, amazing score or all of that stuff, or go back through and fix it. This is so bad. They got Felicity Huffman, who is best known from Desperate Housewives, you know, the actress. They got an email from her to him. And in the email, Felicity writes, quote, "Rutrow, looks like my daughter's high school wants to provide its own proctor." So, I mean, these parents were knee deep in this stuff. They knew the deal. And by the way, this is Lori Loughlin's youngest daughter on going to school. This is one mommy and daddy were going to pay to get into school.
Let's take a listen to Olivia Jade, who is Lori Loughlin's youngest daughter.
I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to actually go or anything, but I love parties. So she's, by the way, she's got 2 million YouTube followers, so she doesn't see the point of school. She's going to be a YouTube star or something. Yeah. By the way, I just, for the heck of it. Just for the heck of it. I mean, the FBI, right? I mean, I'm not criticizing them. I mean, these people should be treated like criminals. What they did is a crime. I mean, there's mail fraud in here, there's general fraud in here, there's tax fraud in here. It's massive. But this, arrested by FBI agents with their guns drawn early yesterday morning, her bond was set at $250,000. Folks, this is on the same day we learn from that Lisa Page testified before Congress. Remember Lisa Page? The paramour? You know, the one, the lover of Peter Strzok? The one who, along with her, you know, lover, knew that they were so much smarter than the rest of us. You know, the ones behind the insurance policy. Those people. Yet she told Congress that they had collected plenty of evidence that Hillary had committed a crime with her email. That the standard absolutely rose to gross negligence. I mean, they had it. They had her dead to rights. That's what the statute says. You can't just, you know, be grossly negligent with national security stuff. But Hillary knew that. And that they took their evidence to the DOJ, that's the Department of Injustice. And the DOJ's like, no, we're not prosecuting. Not going to do that. Why? Because we're just not. So there was no good reason. No, it's just that she was Hillary. Okay, so Lisa Page admitting under oath, yeah, we had evidence she broke the law, but the DOJ said no. Contrast that with President Trump. For 2 years, the DOJ has turned his life upside down, looking for evidence of a crime. They don't have any. So in one case with Hillary, they have evidence of crime, and they're like, well, she's Hillary. We're not going to do anything. With Trump, they're like, you can tell by looking at him, he's a criminal. Let's go find evidence of a crime. I mean, you want to see a clear illustration of the dual justice system? I can't think of one. I mean, this is a woman whose server was violated by the communist Chinese. It was wide open. Do you remember this? Platte River Networks. The guy refused to testify before Congress and was found in contempt because he left the setting wide open. So anybody could come in, and they did. And remember, Hillary is even warned by the FBI. Oh, by the way, your illegal server. Yeah, there's people breaching it from, you know, foreign entities. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And she just kept right on doing it. Well, when you look at how a regular American, one who definitely has done something bad, Felicity Huffman, is treated by the FBI, guns drawn, raid on her house, bonded $250,000, walk off with all her computers, get her emails. They let Hillary keep her BlackBerry and her computers. They said, no, you keep that, honey. We know there's evidence on there. You just keep that. And then the one they took, they destroyed. It was destruction of evidence. By the way, that was a crime by the FBI. So I don't know, maybe Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin should ask for the Hillary Clinton treatment. See if they get it. Ah, dual justice in America. You know, at some point, I don't know how many times the public is going to be smacked across the face with the truth about Russia and just not get it. Fox just did it again. You won't hear this on the other stations, I'm sure. Remember the insurance policy? Man, you can't get any bolder than that. FBI agent sitting in Andrew McCabe's office. He's then the acting director of the FBI. Talking about the insurance policy. Wait a minute. We got to make sure that Trump doesn't get elected. Because why? Well, because we're smarter than everybody else. And better. And we love Hillary. So Lisa Page goes into a closed-door meeting. She's that FBI attorney, right? The disgraced FBI attorney. She's out of there, thank God. With Congress. This happened last year. So it was closed door, so we don't know what was said. Well, the transcripts are coming out now. That's where this is coming from. She was asked about the insurance policy during her interview with the Judiciary Committee in July. She's questioned at length about the text, insurance policy. What did you mean by that, Ms. Page? What is the insurance policy? Oh, it was the Russia investigation. What? Yeah, she admitted it was the Russia investigation, the vaunted, very important, very scary Russia investigation that we really need because we can tell by looking at Trump that he's a Russian agent. That's real, by the way. Rachel Maddow, she said she could tell. She could tell by looking at him when he's with Putin that he's a Russian agent. Lisa Page, let me let this sink in, confirmed that the Russia investigation was the insurance policy discussed in Andy's office to keep Donald Trump from becoming president and undermine his presidency should he succeed. What are we doing now? Why on earth does Mueller still have a job this morning? Russia investigation, insurance policy is still ongoing. It's called the Russia investigation. Mueller's running it now. So we now have the top attorney involved in this at the FBI going, yeah, the insurance policy is Russia investigation. Well, didn't you all say the insurance policy was to stop him from becoming president? That was the goal of it. It wasn't law enforcement. It was that they would stop him from becoming president. Uh-huh. Okay, sure. Well, let's just make sure Mueller keeps doing what he's doing. He's doing a great job, that guy Mueller. This is a Fox News page confirmed that the insurance policy referred to the Russia investigation while explaining that officials were proceeding with caution. Concerned about the implications of the case while not wanting to go at total breakneck speed. Because they thought Trump wouldn't be elected. But he's an insurance policy. Yeah, I need to keep control of him. Gotta help Hillary. Because, you know, that is the job of the FBI. Gotta help Hillary. Okay. Switching gears. I didn't mean to spend so much time on this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The occasional Cortex. The crazy ex-girlfriend. Who is she really? This is just fascinating. You have got to see this video. I have it up on my Facebook page. It's done by a podcaster, Christopher Patrick Coles. And you're about to hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez admit she's an actress. Or she was acting like an actress when she tried out for the part of Congresswoman. Wait. What? Yeah. Take a listen.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not really the Congresswoman of New York's 14th Congressional District. She is, essentially, an actress. She's merely playing the part of a New York Congresswoman. In 2017, a group called the Justice Democrats held auditions for potential congressional candidates that they would run on their platform for various congressional seats throughout the country. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's brother, Gabriel, submitted her for the role. Obviously, AOC has star power. Just look at her. She's a superstar, the most famous person in Congress. Their casting was perfect. Now, I didn't have to go digging for evidence for this because they freely admit it. They brag about it.
This is Alexandra Rojas. She's the executive director of the Justice Democrats, the group that pumped $2 million into her campaign.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like, literally working out of a restaurant then. I was like, there's no way.
A casting call. They had a casting call. They cast Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the role of Congresswoman. And they did this so they could promote their own agenda.
Let me ask you a question. And I've been wondering this from the beginning. How does a waitress, no political connections, no real political activity at all, no success of her own, failed at the only business she ever tried, waiting tables at 28 with a college diploma. How does a person like that suddenly raise $2 million to run for Congress? I mean, that would be a task for a, that would be a difficult task for a sitting member of Congress. Most of them who have the connections, who have the votes, who have the special interest loyalty, they raise $500,000, $600,000 for a congressional race. $2 million? Who writes $2 million worth of checks to a waitress who's a total unknown, who's never been in politics before? Oh, and an extra $888,000. Her campaign's so flush with cash that they're able to launder that illegally into another company so they can spread it out among other Democrats. She didn't raise the money. I mean, that's half her shtick. What a whiz kid, man. Goes from waitress to world-famous Congress member. What, you know how political talent that would take? Raises $2 million from where? Nobody cares. It's because she didn't do any of it. They did. They recruited her. They raised the money. They taught her the talking points. They built her. That's why she looks clueless all the time. Well, who are they? We'll get into that in the next segment. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, texter writes, "Hey, Tara, my son received his PhD in biophysics from Yale." Woo, that's impressive. "On a scholarship. He worked so hard, as we come from simple means, he had to listen to rich white kids preach to him about white privilege while he earned his way by working and doing research at Yale, long, grueling hours. So this college scam infuriates me." It should. They had to go back to the year that these kids, parents, paid them in, go take the top of the heap, whoever it was, whoever's places they took or as best as they could figure it out, and offer them a transfer to these schools so they can get their diploma. If there's still time, they ought to be given an honorary diploma from those schools. It's just absolutely not fair, that theft. All right, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you just heard her in the last segment admit, "Yeah, I auditioned for the job of Congresswoman. It was literally a tryout, like for actresses, by this group." And this group is terrifying. The Justice Democrats. What are the goals of the group that hired Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and taught her to look and sound like a congresswoman? Took a waitress and made her into a congresswoman. By the way, this podcaster guy is not the only one reporting this. Rolling Stone reported it too. The group ultimately ended up, Rolling Stone reports, with 12,000 applications. They said they'd back financially whoever they selected, and they did, with millions of dollars. Some of it turns out, now illegally shifted around. Just 12 of the applicants turned into actual candidates, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won her seat in Congress. What are the goals of this group?
The goals are to take over the Democratic Party, eventually take control of Congress, and in turn, control the United States. They have expressed their intentions very clearly on camera.
We're going to run hundreds of candidates, and we're going to primary all the establishment Democrats. So we're not going to be like, is it Chuck Schumer? Maybe yes, maybe no, right? No, it's a hard no.
So who are they? Who raised the money? Who did this? Saikat Chakrabarty, who is now her chief of staff and in a lot of trouble, Zach Exley, and Cenk Uygur.
What is known is that these people are dangerous. Zach Exley is a radical left open borders guy who was once a fellow at the Open Borders Foundation, which is George Soros' organization. And he seems to be the least extreme of these guys. Cenk Uygur calls his organization the Young Turks. The Young Turks is named after a group of Turkish revolutionaries formed in 1911 who slaughtered 1.5 million people in the Armenian Genocide.
They were Muslim.
So we know where Cenk's influence is at. Saikat Chakrabarty is influenced by this guy, Subhas Chandra Bose. How do we know this? Because he wears this Che Guevara-style shirt with Subhas Chandra Bose's face on it in most of his videos. That seems like a pretty deliberate choice. So who is Subhas Chandra Bose? Subhas called himself a socialist, but he is quoted as saying, "Our philosophy should be a synthesis between Nazism and communism." Another important thing that we need to recognize about Subhas is that he was an anti-colonialist. Now, we're not super familiar with this political perspective here in the US, but in India, anti-colonialism causes deep resentment to this day. This is explained in the documentary film 2016, Obama's America. In this film, Dinesh D'Souza explains anti-colonialism and shows how these ideas influence Barack Obama because, and this is the scary part, the United States is founded on colonialism. To the anti-colonialist, the US is an evil empire that colonized North America. The United States is the enemy and is to be fought, is to be resisted, torn down. This is the guy that Saikat Chakrabarty, AOC's chief of staff, wears on his t-shirt, a pro-violence, anti-colonial socialist who dreamed of a Nazi communist government. This is the man behind the curtain. This is the brains behind AOC. It's definitely scarier to me that he's not a congressman, but that he is the man behind the curtain. There is no accountability for the man behind the curtain. If AOC falls from grace, he can just hire another actress. There are no term limits to being the guy behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. Yeah, let me tell you what, that chief of staff of hers is a terrifying individual. He does podcast, and he wears the same series of t-shirts with the guy on it. And the guy that's on it, he's an Indian guy who once led India and also swore allegiance to Hitler. Worked with Hitler's SS, Gestapo, in Africa. Hated America. Was a fervent proponent of socialism and Nazism. I mean, this is a resurgence of Nazis in the Democrat Party. That's what we're looking at. It is amazing he's gotten away with it.
Oh, and just remember, the next time you see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's fake. She's a fraud. She's not real. None of her tweets are actually her tweets. None of her speeches are her speeches. Her answers to questions and interviews, she was coached to give those. She's not a real congresswoman. She's an actress.
Wow. I'm nothing illegal about that. By the way, do you know who the other candidates they back were who won? You'll recognize the names, I bet. The Justice Democrats. You ready for this? Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley. Okay. This is a group with incredibly deep pockets, ties to both Nazis and George Soros, but then I repeat myself. With incredibly deep pockets and an anti-Semitic bent. Do you want to know why they wouldn't include, why Nancy Pelosi did not include Ilhan Omar's name in the censure of Ilhan Omar for being an anti-Semite? This is why. They're terrified of these people. They don't want to be primaried by them. These people are lit. This is why I saw this and went, oh, okay. I mean, what are the Democrats more afraid of than being tarred as an anti-Semitic party? These people. They don't want to be primaried by them. And that's who's behind AOC. Unbelievable.